Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback. It is 7 minutes, let's say 8 minutes after eight, as we get everything rocking and rolling for this, the Friday version of your favorite broadcast. Yes, the phone lines are open. And so, what the heck? Let's just go ahead and start the morning off with a phone call. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Don.
Don, what can we do for you?
Well, I get ready for bed at night, and I go to bed a little late, and I catch some of those late talk shows on WSAU. And lately I've been hearing about a guy by the name of Bundy in Montana, who's evidently in some trouble with the law.
The rancher.
Yes, but I don't hear anything about it other than in those places. So
there's a lot of issue that's going on with him.
Yeah.
This old guy has had a cattle ranch, and I believe it's not Montana. I have to the specific state. Tom is in there doing the clickety clickety with Google. He and his family have had a cattle ranch in that part of the country for, I think he said, since the late 1800s.
Yeah.
And it has been the typical process of allowing cattle to spill out into the public land in order to graze.
Yes.
Well, he's a cantankerous old cuss.
Yes.
That hasn't played well with others as far as the authorities are concerned. And
it's in southern Nevada.
Southern Nevada, right.
Cliven Bundy,
right.
67 years old.
And the government out there has declared the land that he has allowed his cattle to graze on for so long, they've declared it a wildlife preserve for some stupid turtle.
Yes.
And they want him to pull his cattle off of there. This is asinine.
Stupid turtle.
It's a dumbass. Yes. It's a stupid turtle. Okay? You can't tell me that the cattle and the turtles can't live together in perfect harmony. I mean, this is just dumb.
Wait a minute.
Well, I don't know. That could be a problem. But anyway, the reason I called you guys to find out is because I trust you a little bit. At least Tom.
You trust Tom?
Yes.
All right. Don, thank you very much for calling in. It's been nice.
The government says the Bundys owe the government a total of $1.1 million, including $300,000 in back fees for using the land for grazing their cattle.
And he is saying, you know what? We used this land for a lot longer before the Bureau of Land Management even existed.
That's what he's claiming,
You can go pound sand for your $1.1 million.
He's claiming squatters' rights on the grazing land.
Apparently. Well, I believe that this is a case where the local government, the Bureau of Land Management, is being way too heavy-handed. This guy is a thorn in their side. He may owe them money, but you don't show up with rifles and guns and steal his cattle. And that's what they're doing. They're basically rustling his cattle off the land.
Okay. See, now you can get an idea why I've called in to let Tom hunt it up.
Why? Do you agree with the Bureau of Land Management?
I don't know what to believe so far. I'm inclined to believe with the old man. I don't see why they should suddenly come up. Of course, I don't know what this
and
is
yet,
what
and,
I
and
don't
yet,
know.
And yet, in other places, when the government allows, whether it's oil interests or mining interests or ranching and cattle interests in the West, to use government land and not pay for it or pay pennies on the dollar, the government gets criticized for that. The administration gets criticized, whatever administration it is, gets criticized for giving out freebies like that.
Well, maybe they get criticized because they're giving out those freebies to people for in return for support for their candidacy.
Yeah. Who knows? But listen, I appreciate you calling in with that. That is something that I've been following, waiting for a outcome, waiting for a decision, waiting for some direction to happen before we begin talking about it too much. But thank you very much for calling. Thanks for being a part of the show. All right. There's a guest in the studio. Did you get any food?
I didn't. Is there food in there?
There's food in
there. I'm really hungry. I'm coming in.
Here we go.
Oh, here he comes now. Well, we're on the air. You can't just walk away from the microphone. Yeah, I guess he can.
All right.
So
that.
You guys get to just
Yeah, talk amongst yourselves.
About this guy, you know, though, that just came off the line, man, and the situation, to me, it's asinine because these are turtles. They outlasted the meteor that took out the dinosaurs with the alligators. Well, I mean, a couple of horse hooves on their head is not going to desolate the population to the point where it's going to be, you know what I mean? It don't make sense.
Yeah, it is. I have an issue with environmental issues getting in the way of business practices without a valid reason. This turtle situation, the cattle can be there at the same place, the same time as the turtles can. And here's what they would do is when his family has what they would need to do then is just say, okay, listen, when this group of cattle have lived their lives, when we take them in to be processed and turn them into the deliciousness of ribeyes and burgers
Absolutely.
And that kind of thing, then you don't bring any new ones on.
Okay.
We have designated this a wildlife preserve. It is public land. It is not land you own.
Right.
But what we're going to do, we're not going to charge you for grazing your cattle on here because you've done it for hundreds of years, but we're not going to continue to allow you to use it. All right. When this group of cattle have moved on to the great hamburger stand in the sky,
right.
You don't bring on any more. We're just going to phase it out. That's a reasonable resolution to the problem.
I'll come at you from the other way, from the rancher's point of view. Look at that. I'm a Southern boy. You are, too. I eat the hell out of some turtle soup. So you can go out there and harvest some turtles for all I care and take them to the big stew pot in the kitchen. And everybody can get paid.
You're not making turtle soup out of endangered species, though.
Look, if leatherback or anybody else comes in my pond and I get him on a hook, he's going to be looking at some Lowry's and some garlic powder. You dig?
Some of the best-tasting turtle soup comes from an endangered species of turtle in Florida. And I hate to say it, but it is delicious.
Oh, you know it's good.
You've had it.
Absolutely,
hey,
I've had
it. Southern boys, we done had turtle soup, man. Come on.
All right, so let's take our first break, and when we come back, we've been threatening to do this for a while. Sean Hannity apparently said something that got Mr. Les his ire all fired up, and we'll discuss it when we come back. Apparently, Les believes that Sean Hannity could be misconceived or misconstrued or misunderstood as a racist. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Breaking news, severe weather. Hear it on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.
We need a light to go on, don't we? 715-845-2155. All right. So Les has said that Mr. Sean Hannity said something the other day that got you kind of fired up, and you texted me and you said Sean's a racist. And it's like, oh, hold on. That's a pretty potent claim. So tell me why. What did he say? And let's break it down and let's analyze it a little bit and see what the truth is.
Well, first of all, I said that he said some things that will make him be perceived as a racist, and he's not doing much to help himself. Look, this is what happened. He was talking about one day, and he was being facetious. He says, okay, today President Obama really stood up to someone, a third world country leader, and told him that if things didn't cease immediately, we were going to triple our sanctions, and we would possibly think about intervention.
Right.
Okay. Now,
basically shaking his finger in his face and
pretty much, yeah,
talking
harshly. Like they always do, yeah, okay. Red line and all that.
All right.
So I'm thinking, all right, well, who is this? Is it just some Banana Republic cat, you know what I mean, that's trying to squeeze his people?
Mm-hmm.
What it ended up to be, he was talking about the war chief in the Congo and one war chief in Uganda. Now, Sean says that this has nothing to do with America. You know, we shouldn't even be worried about this, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I agree with that.
Okay, so your interpretation of what Sean said was that getting involved with the civil war between the peoples of the Ugandan area, not our concern. We don't need to bother with it.
Right.
Okay.
In the same breath, weeks ago and months ago, people are talking about, okay, Syria.
Right,
with
Assad.
We have to get in there and take care of Assad. And then before that, it was Libya, okay?
And with the Ukraine and Crimea.
Yeah, Ukraine and Crimea. So here's how it plays out. Syria and Libya, I see, is the same way. They have nothing to do with it. And, Libya is an African nation as well. They right. have nothing to do with American economics or anything, but the president's saying...
Limited,
Or Sean, you know, and other talk show hosts were saying, this is a humanitarian thing. We shouldn't let these people die, blah, blah, blah. We should get in there and do something about it.
Okay.
So now me as a black conservative, man, I'm thinking, all right, so Uganda and Congo, who the bad guys are. Right. You know, there are literally people going into villages killing people
right.
because they want to bend to them.
Right.
That's a bad guy. We know who the innocents are.
Right.
You can't defer that between Libya and Syria. So what I'm saying
okay, hang on. You're saying that the line between the bad guys, the good guys, and the bad guys in Libya and Syria, Muslim Brotherhood versus just tyrannical
Taliban or whoever,
that the line between good and bad guys are very, very blurred.
It's blurred.
But the line, the definitive line between good guy and bad guy in the Ugandan situation is very clear.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I follow you.
So now what I'm saying is, as a black conservative, you're saying straight out that you don't care about these people or what's happening to them. From a humanitarian standpoint, this is a much bigger thing going on, and it has been for decades. I mean, you got Blood Diamond, the movie come out, and all that. People are aware of these things. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for him to say that, he has shrank that tent. I know he's not a racist because I listen to him a lot, and I know his views, and I know he does specific things to let people know that he's not a racist. However, perception is everything.
Yeah.
You know, and you were talking about the thing with Rush Limbaugh. You know, he did something that with the Colbert thing.
Right.
You know, you're alienating those people.
Right. He alienated the younger audience that could be influenced to be conservatives. And so what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, that while you agree and you are not saying that Sean Hannity is a racist, you're saying by him saying that the Ugandan issue does not have any real pertinence or it's not an important issue for us to be involved with, however, saying that Syria, the Ukraine, and Libya, which are arguably more Caucasian than the Ugandan area.
Arguably.
Okay. They're not as white as me.
No.
But, that it could be perceived as him saying, well, we don't care about black people.
Yeah, I mean, a black conservative could take it like that. And, I mean, I know the Crimea and Ukraine. We know we need to handle that because our European allies are under the fence or under the boot of Putin, because which that could be easily eliminated if we drill some oil, drill for some gas. Well, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. If I got somebody that's trying to kill me every day, but I need gas to try to kill him, why wouldn't I build my own gas station?
Well, we are increasing our production. There is a oil boom in the Dakotas and in other places, so it's growing. So we're addressing it slowly. So
a hemorrhoid addressed slowly, it don't help much, does it?
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Jeez. Come on, Doc.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, one of the things that conservatives, especially the GOP, and those of us who are the talking heads, conservative radio, is that we have to be cognizant of how what we are saying is going to be perceived by those that are listening.
Absolutely.
Now, I've got an argument for you.
Okay.
Les, I am responsible for what I say.
Right.
You are responsible for what you hear and what you understand.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So if you have a group of people that I don't care, and this is not an issue. I'm not saying, and listen, I did not just say you people. You understand?
Come on, Linda.
You understand?
I got
if you have a group of people that get all bent out of shape, and, oh, my God, he's a racist, he blah, 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 blah. You did not hear the entire conversation. You yourself said, listen, I heard the entire conversation.
Right.
He's not a racist.
Right.
But what he said could be perceived as racist.
Exactly.
So I'm having an issue with saying that Sean is entirely responsible for that comment. I think I agree with you that we need to be cognizant.
Right.
And that we people need to be a little, we have to take it into consideration. However, the listener has some responsibility to understand and perceive it properly.
Absolutely.
I say it, you got to understand it right.
And I do. You know, I have analyzed it. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I know he's not a racist. People are perceiving it. But case in point, here's another thing.
Nice.
Paul Ryan said a good thing. Now, I'm a black man. I ain't going to beat around the bush. Yeah, that's what they tell me. I ain't sure. You know, I got a little of that native in me, too. But I'm not going to beat around the bush, man. It's like there
you mean
is,
American Indian.
No, we're native. See, now that right there is racist. Ain't no Indian. take the Redskin name off the helmet, man.
Say Redskin.
But
just check it.
Paul Ryan, man. Now he said a good thing, and I'm not gonna beat around the bush. See, sometimes people just bait it, do that old Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton thing.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan is as clearly as he could say it, and coming at from a good heart, he was saying, look, it's problems in the inner city. All right, it's a problem with these men, some of them not working for generations, not even thinking about work because we got them on food stamps, we got them on substances. What is the incentive for them to work? We need to change that mentality. We need to change that culture. Now, look, I'm going to say it. I'm a black man, and I got Mexican homeboys, and I grew up with all that. But let me tell you something. There is a point. I mean, when you first came to the station, we talked about the drug problem, how it's starting to start here, and how guys get locked up, and you were like, we need to punish them. And I was telling you, you know what? But that's part of the culture, because when you go in there, unless you're being counseled, you're not being rehabilitated, you're being locked up. You're going to go in there and learn how to be a smarter criminal. You're going to come out and learn how to cook dope better, sell dope better, weigh dope better. But the black community, man, and the Hispanic community, a certain part of that, yeah, man, we've been conditioned to that. They don't think about going to work. Man, screw the man. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting paid, blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to get mine.
No, instead of people, especially liberals, and people saying, you know what, Paul Ryan has a good point. You know, our inner cities are dilapidated. They're diminishing. There's no hope. There's nothing. They want to jump on, he's a racist. He's talking about black people. He's talking about Mexican people. Okay, yeah, he's talking about some poor white folks too, but it's a culture.
All right. Now, again, allow me to retort.
Absolutely.
Okay. As individual being raised in a family, you have family influences that tell you this is the right way to do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, and if that comes to drug culture, too, it's like, come on, man, it's not a big deal to do a little weed.
It is.
Do a little blow, you know, jack that needle back up in your arm, do all that kind of crap, okay? Right. But there comes a point where you become an aware adult.
Yes.
And you know the difference between right and wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
You know the difference between being a sluggard, staying at home, eating Cheetos, playing Xbox all day, and being a productive member of society. And there comes a point where you, as an adult, make the choice.
You got to.
So, again, my retort is, whose responsibility is it? Law enforcement to lock up the guy. Yes, we should provide some rehabilitation.
Yeah.
But you have to make the decision on your own to be
a productive member of society.
Exactly right.
You know
all
what
right.
I mean? Yeah. Right, but I agree with Paul Ryan is what I was saying. You know, hey, Paul, don't step down to these cats, man. Stand your ground. We want somebody with some spine, man.
I hear you. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. That's different. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Breaking news, the latest weather, around the clock on WSAU.